Welcome back to the program. Great to have your company wherever you might be listening. Heading back to your calls very shortly, but Premiership star, SEN star, Campbell Brown's been good enough to join me, part of the SEN track family as well, and he's out walking the track right now as we have a chat to him. Brownie, welcome back. Great to have you on again.
Yeah, thanks very much, Dwayne.
For Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now, illusionfires.com, and a good time of the year to have the fire roaring. What did you think of last night, Brownie?
It was not a great game of football, but I thought that St Kilda were pretty clinical with their ball movement, and they've got a lot of unsung heroes. Not big names, but they just get the job done. Guys like Wilkie, and I thought Jack Steele's job on Paddy Cripps was superb. So a lot of contributors.
Yeah, they've got a reasonably good spread of talent. I mean, if you're dropping Paddy Ryder and he can't get a game, you know you've got some reasonable depth, even if you don't have, you know, a Bontempelli or Patrick Cripps at the top end.
Well, that's exactly right. And guys like Billings and Loney and those guys, really dangerous. Marshall in the rucks just, you know, the last probably 2 years has just come of age. And, yes, some of those guys down back as well are starting to build some pretty nice resumes. Long has been sensational as well. So hard side to stop because you don't really know who to go to. I know that they probably ran out of legs a little bit late when Hanbury went down, and Carlton improved in the second half. But their ball movement, I reckon, has been brilliant this year. They're just on the same page. They spread really quickly, and they're pretty dangerous up forward as well with Membry and a few options.
And I was talking earlier on, if some teams start dropping like flies because it's just too hard in the next month and a half, a team like St Kilda could be a sneaky chance of making the eight. And if you make the eight, anything can happen.
Yeah, well, this year, exactly right. You never know what's going to unfold week to week. And we're seeing all sorts of crazy things happen so far. So, yeah, that's right. It's the biggest cliche in footy, taking it, you know, 1 week at a time. But this year, more than ever before, it's pretty appropriate with injuries and fixtures and players getting suspended for COVID breaches. You just have no idea what's around the corner.
So the door's open for Bucks to coach a flag. The door's even open for Essendon if they can get a little run going. Big game tonight.
Yeah, it is. It's a massive game. Really looking forward to seeing what unfolds. I think Essendon, a couple of injuries as well. I think Francis is outmanaged and big Tommy Bell Chambers, which leaves them a little bit short on top with their big guys. But, I've always struggled to catch Essendon. I've never been able to really pick when they're going to produce the goods and when they aren't. Certainly, you know, Jeremy Howe and Sidebottom, I probably rate those two guys as the most important players for the Pies. They've got great depth, which they've showed over the last couple of years. But Jeremy Howe's instrumental down back, and obviously, if Pendles isn't having a great night, Steel Sidebottom bobs up. So those two are going to be pretty big losses.
So a good time for Essendon to meet them, really.
I think so, yeah. They need to improve again, though. They've got a few outs themselves. Merritt's out, and like I mentioned, the other two guys. But, you'd think the Pies on paper would be too strong, but wouldn't mind seeing Essendon be a little bit more bold with their ball movement. I thought they probably played into the hands a little bit of the Blues last week and didn't really get going till late. So just wanted to be a bit more aggressive with their ball movement.
West Coast Eagles play Sydney and then they're probably going to head home for 2 months. Can you see that sleeping giant awakening soon?
Maybe once they get back home in their own beds and get some normality back to their season. They've been the biggest disappointment as far as I'm concerned this year. Not just the losses, but the way they've been losing. They've just lacked energy. And one of their biggest strengths in the last few seasons that led to their premiership was how good their key defenders were. Oh, they got absolutely monstered on the weekend by Charlie Dixon and have pretty much every single week this year. So McGovern's, we thought he was going to be back last week and he didn't return. So they're crying out for him to just get back in and start winning or halving some contests because they had no answers for the Port big guys in Westhoff and Charlie Dixon last week. And Yeah, I don't know what's happened with the Eagles, because you can't just blame the hub, you know, because there's other teams in hubs that are playing okay. So something's not quite clicking. Tim Kelly probably hasn't been as good an acquisition to start his West Coast Eagles career as they would have liked, but they need to get going at some stage.
You reckon Richmond will get going at some stage? Big game against Melbourne, big for both clubs, because Melbourne, you know, they could drop off the cliff fairly quickly too. And if Richmond lose another one and then have to head away for 5-6 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Them probably more than any other club, I reckon. The crowd and just the atmosphere. If you're playing for Richmond, you're always playing in front of 70 or 80,000 people. Every game's a big game. You're coming off a couple of premierships in the last 3 years. I just wonder if, you know, the absolute hunger and intensity and desperation is still there in this really weird season. Because the Tiger Army is a pretty influential part of playing for Richmond. They run out every week and play in front of no one. And maybe, you know, I certainly know at Hawthorn after 2008, when we reached the pinnacle, 2009 was just a little bit harder, just maybe 1 or 2% harder to get yourself up each week for home and away games. And eventually, you know, we didn't even make the finals the following year, so we couldn't get ourselves up to play finals. I was just wondering if that's sort of what's happening at Richmond. It's, you know, people talk about the premiership hangover being a physical thing, like you party too hard or whatever it is, but I think it's every bit as mental as well.
So the motivation's not quite there, you think, like it is for the clubs that haven't won a flag for ages, like Port Adelaide, for example, who have a pretty big game this week against Brisbane.
Well, they're hungry, aren't they? And they've got a point to prove, and they've been disappointing. They've got a coach that's been under the pump, you know, and that, I think, that filters through to the playing group. They know that they need to perform, make finals, and they're chasing that elusive, you know, finals berth and premiership, whereas the Richmond boys have been there, done that, kicked it off, and, you know, some of the young guys have won premierships as youngsters. Just maybe that the motivation isn't quite there, but only they can answer that. And I'm sure Dim will be doing absolutely everything he can to try and get their season back on track. But, Porter playing a great brand of footy, aren't they? And all buying in, and they seem to be the club that's handled this sort of COVID break the best.
So who wins those two games, Melbourne and Richmond and Port Adelaide and Brisbane?
I think Port Adelaide win, and I think Richmond, I trust them more than I trust the D's. Melbourne are still yet to probably prove that they're capable of knocking off a really good side just yet. And, they came hard late against the Cats last week, didn't they? But it was too little too late, and I just think that Richmond will really set themselves this week, pretty steely resolve, and try and get their season back on track.
Bulldogs and North, pretty evenly matched two sides.
Yeah, this is the game I'm looking forward to the most, Wayne. I don't know about you, but I reckon this will be a cracking contest. Both sides just rip in. You know, they have a real crack and pride themselves on their competitiveness. So, I think Benny Cunnington comes back in, which is going to be important. They lose Zeeble, so it's like for like a little bit. And the Doggies just lose a few forward options with Milton going out and Sam Boyd, who's probably a little bit underrated as a small forward. He's had a terrific year and a bit for the Doggies. So maybe that just swings things in favour of North Melbourne. They were coming like a freight train late, weren't they, against the Hawks?
And yeah,
arguably should have won. A couple of late shots on goal sort of misses cost them. But, really looking forward to this contest. I reckon it'll be a real scrap.
Biggest game of the Suns season so far, facing Geelong at Geelong. So I'm expecting Geelong, especially given the milestones of Ablett and Selwood, to deliver. How you see this one happening?
Exciting game. And who would have probably thought that this would be one of the most exciting that we'd be looking forward to this round. But Suns have been tremendous. I tweeted on Sunday that I'd never seen a Suns team play with such spirit. There was a melee and there was, you know, all sorts going on, which they haven't really shown as a footy club for 5 or 6 years. So it's just what Raoul and some of those young guys have done to the club immediately has been magnificent. But Gary Ablett, best player I've ever played with. Huge night for him. Obviously, Selwood, going to be Hall of Famer and Geelong Team of the Century captain probably down the track. So they'll get the job done for those two champions.
Giants and Hawthorn's a pretty interesting game as well.
Yeah, it is. The Giants resurrected their season a little bit last Thursday night, was it? They looked pretty good, especially because they lost a couple of pretty important defenders in that game, and they gritted out a victory. I still don't reckon their forward structure is going that well at the moment. Jeremy Cameron can't seem to get going. They just can't find that space that Himmelberg and Finlayson and some of those guys had last year. So they were a three-pronged attack last year, and it's fallen away a little bit. But I think that the Giants will probably go in favourites in this game against the Hawks. Luke Bruce out with that broken jaw, and they would have probably looked pretty closely at what North Melbourne did late in that last quarter, how they got back in the game and shut a lot of Hawthorn's run down. If you can lock the ball inside your forward 50 against the Hawks, you're a pretty good chance of getting repeat forward 50 entries and scoring. So they'll need the pressure from their small forwards to be right up the Giants.
And the Wooden Spoon winner might be decided this weekend. Whoever loses out of Adelaide and Fremantle, who wins that one?
Adelaide have been putrid, haven't they? I know that Freo haven't won a game this year, but they haven't been non-competitive. They've been okay. They've sort of been in most of the games that they've played, and they've run the games out. They've just probably lost because they don't have the depth of talent and ability. But it's a really interesting one. I don't think it'll be one for the highlights reel. And I think Freo, will win purely based on what I just said, because Adelaide really haven't given a sight this year on any front. So, been disappointing, haven't they?
Absolutely. The Will Phillips Cup, maybe we can call it, because Matt Rendell said that behind Jamal Ugal-Hagen, who will go to the Dogs, probably is their first pick, because someone else will bid for him, so they'll take him first. But, yeah, Will Phillips might be the number two player in the draft that will be up for grabs for the team that wins the spoon. Hey, great to have a chat to you, Brownie. Look forward to hearing you more on SEN Track. Thanks for your time. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, Wayne. See you, mate.
Campbell Brown, Premiership star, SEN star, part of the SEN Track family. And today at 6 p.m, SEN Track on your radio in Melbourne is moving from 1377 AM to 1593 AM. SEN Track, listen to 1593 AM from 6 p.m. today. And, of course, always available on the SEN app as well. More after the break.